First, the disciplinary appeal of Christopher Manny, the Milwaukee police officer who shot and killed Dontre Hamilton in April of last year, is scheduled to begin in downtown Milwaukee today at 4:30.
Christopher Manny was fired from the Milwaukee Police Department after the shooting because the department says he did not follow protocol when he frisked Hamilton. The questions of racial disparities in Wisconsin's police and criminal justice system that this case brought about were reignited 2 weeks ago with the shooting of black 19-year-old Tony Robinson in Madison.
Corrine Hess is a Milwaukee-based freelance journalist. Her story of the events of Dontre Hamilton's death and the aftermath is featured in this month's issue of Milwaukee Magazine. Corrie, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, remind us of the basics of the facts here. What do we know for sure happened on that day in April last year?
Well, what we know for sure is that Dontre Hamilton was sleeping in a park in downtown Milwaukee. A barista at Starbucks, which is located in that park, called the police department. Two officers came and determined twice that Dontre was not causing any trouble, and then Officer Christopher Manny came. He ended up frisking Dontre, and they got into an altercation. Dontre grabbed Officer Manny's baton, and during that, Officer Manny shot Dontre several times and killed him. So that happened, and then that was at the end of April, and in October, Police Chief Flynn fired Officer Manny, and that is the hearing that is beginning today.
And as we mentioned, Officer Manny was not fired for the shooting itself. What did Chief Flynn say was the reason for that firing?
The reason for the firing was the whole how he approached Dontre and had him stand up and then patted him down. So it was going against police protocol with the pat-down and the search.
As I understand it, this is the first case of an officer being fired for contributing to a person's death in the line of duty. Why was this particular case, why did it lead in this direction?
Well, in talking to Chief Flynn, he believed that after reviewing this, that that Officer Manny did violate what the police should have done. And in looking at what the first two officers did by not having Dontre get up, by recognizing that he had some mental health issues and leaving him alone, Chief Flynn thought that the right thing to do was to fire Officer Manny. So that now is what this commission is going to decide.
Now, in your piece, you try to take this beyond the facts of the matter and kind of this national conversation about these police-involved shootings and tell us the story of the individuals involved. Can you tell us a little bit about Dontre Hamilton and his family and how they've done since this event?
Mm-hmm. His family, the one thing that came out right after the shooting was that Dontre was homeless. And that really wasn't the case. He had spent the night before at a hotel. He was living in a transitional housing unit for people with mental health issues, and the TV wasn't working. So he wanted to watch movies. He liked to fall asleep to watch movies. And so he was not actually homeless. He had the support of his family, his mother and his father. They weren't married. They're divorced. But both of them were in his life, as well as his brothers. And so that, just characterizing him as homeless, really is what I think sparked his family to get involved with the media. They told me right away that they hadn't planned on talking to the media. They wanted to just deal with this privately, but they were really upset that that he was talked about as being somebody who was homeless and who was violent, and they say that he was not. So, I mean, I don't know if he had been. I don't believe that he was homeless, though. And his family's been very involved since the shooting.
And talk about Dontre Hamilton's life. He was an ambitious young guy trying to get jobs before I think you could legally get jobs even. And then he had this sad turn to mental illness.
He did. When he was in his early 20s, he started hearing voices, according to his brother and his friends. He was really paranoid. His brothers actually didn't want to believe it. They, they grew up together playing and roughhousing and just like any other brothers would do. And they didn't want to admit that something was wrong with Dontre. And then, just the things started getting worse for him. And he did try to commit suicide, and that's when they realized that there was a problem. And he was admitted to the mental health complex and diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia. He was on medication, but because of different issues with the system, not being able to get the medication or stay on a schedule, he wasn't on it regularly like he should have been.
I want to talk about Officer Manny's story since this shooting. I know I gather he hasn't talked directly to the press much. What have we heard from him as far as statements or via people he's been in contact with?
Yeah, I was able to talk to the police union, and they've been meeting, President Mike Crivello has been meeting with Officer Manny at least weekly, and it's been a rough road for Officer Manny as well. He has said that he's had post-traumatic stress disorder, and he's filed an application for disability retirement. So even if he doesn't get his job back, he may be able to still receive a portion of his salary. He has a few young children. He's a single father. He's not really been able to go out in public. I mean, he's also dealing with having to know that he killed a man. So this has not been easy for Officer Manny.
And on what grounds is he challenging his discipline, his firing from the force?
What I believe they are going to do today is talk about how, like you said earlier, nowhere in history, or at least in the last 45 years, has there been an officer fired for a fatal on-duty shooting. So I believe that's the grounds that they're going to go for today.
I want to put this in the context of a few different stories we've been watching. First of all, mental illness and the system in Milwaukee and around the country. Is that one of the lessons people are trying to take away? One, a silver lining to solve mental health problems, make treatment more available for people in Dontre Hamilton's situation?
I think it's what they're hoping can be taken away. One thing that Maria Hamilton, Dontre's mother, has really been trying to do is work with the mental health community. She's received a lot of accolades from the mental health community for her work. I think it's been sidetracked a little bit just by everything that's going on with Officer Manny, and then also this latest situation in Madison. She's been in Madison protesting along with her son, Nate. But she has been working with the mental health community to try to raise awareness. So hopefully this is some good that will come out of this.
And as you just alluded to, you write that over time we've switched the focus here from the issues of mental health to issues of race in this shooting. How did that happen? Why do you say that?
Well, I think when this happened here in April, you know, it didn't get a lot of play. It actually really didn't get a lot of notice nationally at all. And then other things across the country started happening, Ferguson, of course, and other shootings. And then, again, the Dontre Hamilton case really didn't get much notice, but it slowly did through its grassroots group that was behind it. And the more and more protests, it seems like people started coming to town and kind of whispers of this could have been a racist act started happening. And I don't really believe that that was the family's belief, at least not when I spoke to them right after the shooting. And I don't know if that's their belief now. I haven't talked to them in several months. But it definitely, when I first spoke to them, their main concern was the mental health of Dontre and that his needs weren't really being met.
How would you compare the official responses from the police and city to Dontre Hamilton's shooting in Milwaukee and Tony Robinson's in Madison?
Well, it's definitely different. I mean, I thought it was interesting that in Madison, the chief immediately reached out to the family and also immediately named the officer who was involved in the shooting. That didn't happen here in Milwaukee. Police Chief Flynn met with the Hamilton family, but it was not for several weeks after the shooting. It also was in the presence of the Hamilton family attorneys, and it wasn't like what was described in Madison, where the chief sat with, you know, Mr. Robinson's grandparents and prayed. So it was just very different. And then also, the Officer Manny's name was not mentioned for several months, and that happened during a fire and police commission meeting, and it was Dontre's brother who said it. It was never released by the police. So it was very different. And I don't know if things went smoother, for lack of a better word, in Madison because of what happened in Milwaukee, and if lessons were learned, or if Milwaukee's just a larger city with, you know, they've got a... I'm not sure.
Now, after many of these shootings around the country, there have been calls for changes in the way policing is done or police officers have trained. Has there been any move toward that or talk of that in Milwaukee in this last 11 months?
There have. There have been some positive changes here in Milwaukee. Police Chief Flynn and Mayor Tom Barrett have made a commitment that the police department is going to undergo training so that they will better be able to handle people when they have mental illness. So before the shooting, only about 25% of the police officers had that training. And now they said that, you know, beginning in 2015, which now we're into, they're all going to be trained. I'm not sure how long that will take. I know it's a very comprehensive training program, so it takes several weeks. But all new officers are going to have it, and all existing officers will eventually have it.
Briefly, as you wrap up, Corey, how has this whole story over the last year affected the Milwaukee community?
You know, I don't know if it's affected the Milwaukee community as a whole as much as sometimes it looks like it on the news. Again, I think it's affected a pocket of the Milwaukee community, but I don't think everybody is even aware of what happened. Like I said, it didn't gain the national attention, and luckily all of the protests have been peaceful. Both the Hamilton family has made sure that they've remained peaceful, and the police department has made them peaceful. I mean, so I don't think, in a good way, it's really had a terrible impact on the community. I mean, it's a terrible tragedy that happened, but I think the community is okay.
Corey,
if that makes sense.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
I'm going to speak with Corinne Hess. She's a Milwaukee area freelance journalist. She wrote the piece, A City's Tragedy, about the shooting of Dontre Hamilton in this month's issue of Milwaukee Magazine.